This episode of TMS brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Go get a free trial right now. No credit card required. Play with the template, see how it looks on mobile devices, and enjoy the responsive designs of squarespace.com. When you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off your order at squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, Ready, Set, Japan.
So what I miss?
CNN and Ding Dongs is what you missed.
Is that what I missed? Yeah. Ted 2 got murdered.
Guy recorded trash-talking doctors.
Harry Potter doing stage crap.
Aw, major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your calls and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Who can turn a can into a cane? Who can turn a pan into a pain? It's not too hard to see, it's Silent E.
The Morning Stream, where man is made whole.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream after a small vacational hiatus.
Vacational hiatus. You should have that looked at.
Herniated hiatus. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett, back from the Isle of Japan, the Empire, the Empire of Japan. The big white flag with a big dot in the middle of it.
Konnichiwa, Scott Johnson.
Yeah,
son.
See? Very authentic. Johnson. Brian, welcome back to the States, man.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
You're probably a little tired still?
Still a little tired. Still recovering from jet lag. It is, it's a real thing, this jet lag. Mm-hmm. And
they weren't kidding when they talked about that.
No.
Yeah, whoever that was.
No, whoever they are. Yeah, I've always got these big dreams that I can sleep on the plane. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, 9-hour flight, piece of cake. I'll be able to sleep.
Sure.
Yeah, no, maybe a little doze here, a doze there, but... there was no sleeping on the plane on the way back for whatever reason. And, I've just been on some weird schedule where it's not like I can sleep for 8 hours straight. I can sleep for 3 or 4 hours and then I'm wide awake.
Right.
And then another 3 or 4 hours and then wide awake.
I feel for you. It's like, I remember my trip to China and Japan, Tokyo. I was barely in Tokyo, but I was in China for a week and I came back. About a week and a half. Came back and it took me a good, I don't know, man. It felt like a month to get my crap together.
Mm-hmm.
My system doesn't do that stuff very well. So this is day one of Brian Watch. We're going to keep an eye on you.
Sounds good. Yeah, the should set up a webcam just throughout the day and you can see me like hit the virtual wall at about 1 o'clock today with my head on my standing desk.
That sounds right. If I get a little phone notification, ba-doom. Brian has left the room. He is That's now right. wandering about at 2 a.m. looking for something to eat.
looking for some ramen.
Go ahead.
Oh, I get to say, though, you know, when you can't sleep on the plane, you get Air Canada, amazing, amazing entertainment options on the plane.
Really?
Basically, we had, on the way out there, we're on the Dreamliner, which is the best, hands down, the best plane I've ever been on.
Wow.
Like the windows don't have the little slider panels that close them to make them dark. They have a little digital display thing on the bottom that does some liquid crystal mojo magic and dims them so you can still see out, but it's black. And what they do in the middle of the flight, because basically when we flew out there, we had the sun above us the entire time. We were crossing the international dateline with the sun above us.
Yeah.
So for the middle part of the flight where they like to make it dark so that people can adjust and get some sleep if they're able to, they dim all of those windows, dim all the windows simultaneously. And it's like indigo blue. It feels like nighttime. You know you're looking at daylight outside, but when you just glance over at it, it looks like it's a nighttime sky with clouds and
that's pretty sci-fi, actually, that
it's
you can
amazing.
Just turn those things. I want that in my house. Can I get a thing for that? Oh, I probably could. It'd probably be really expensive, but I probably could.
But the in-flight, the little entertainment thing you get built into the seat behind you or a seat in front of you, we had the choice of like 150 movies and dozens of TV shows. that we could just call up and play, you know, whenever we wanted. It was like having Netflix right there.
Wow.
And good stuff, like recent stuff. I watched, well, okay, maybe not all good stuff. I watched Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, yeah. How is that pile of poo?
It's a pile of poo. Yeah. Oh, Wachowskis, how far you've fallen.
Yeah.
But on the way back, they also have HBO in there. I watched the entire 6-episode run of The Jinx.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Which is the most fascinating documentary. Holy crap.
Yeah, worth watching, isn't it?
At Robert Durst, man, he is one.
But tell me he doesn't sound like the Smuckers guy. He does, doesn't he?
He sounds to me like William Hickey.
When I was cutting up the body.
To me, it's just like, when I, you know, whether when I murder somebody, it has to be good. It just had that Smuckers guy tone to him. But
Pepperidge Farm remembers where I put those plastic bags.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you watched that. I thought that was fascinating.
So good. And then I did watch All Good Things, which was the movie that was loosely based. Well, I wouldn't even say loosely. Very, very much based on his life, but...
Oh, that's the one that prompted him to call the documentary filmmakers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling and Kirsten Dunst and...
Her teeth. They were in it.
Her teeth.
Yeah, they were in there for sure.
I just can't decide. She was super cute in this film. I don't know what it is. It's maybe the roles that she plays. There's somewhere where I just connect and somewhere I don't. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm done with her.
Yeah, it's weird, right? It's just a weird thing. I have that with male actors too. So everyone calm down. Keep your emails to yourselves. It's not just a lady thing. Okay.
Right.
All right. Okay. Well, Brian, while you were gone, before I want to get to some stories here. I want to hear.
Oh, sure.
We're going to disseminate Brian Japan stories throughout the week. and
spread them like seed over the plains,
or more, depending on how many you got. So it's I'm totally stoked for that. Excited about that. But it bears mentioning. While Brian was gone, maybe Brian needs to leave more often. Big things happen.
Yeah.
The gays can all get the marriage, right?
Right. Right across the land.
Right across the land, no matter what state you live in, including my fine state of Utah. You can, if you're the gays, you can get the married, right?
And as I understand it, because it's a Supreme Court decision, no president can even overturn it, like, and say, you know, I think this is a bad idea. We're going to go and recall this.
You'd basically have to you'd have to appeal it through the process again.
Yeah.
You know, new evaluate. Like, there's a process there, but you're right. It is kind of a thing where their courts exist for a reason, I suppose, and this is one of those reasons. They make landmark cases about this in the past, certainly related ones, like when black people could marry white people. There was a lot of resistance to that. Back in the day, women could vote. That had to kind of go through that. Like,
right.
There's some of this is all done democratically via voting. Some is done through court rule. Some of it's done through back doors and weird ways of things. But whatever. There's your government. The government hard at work. Point is, the gays, y'all can get married. Grats. I think that is awesome. And I think everybody should have the same rights to do whatever the hell they want with their lives. And I am all stoked for them. All right, this is how it should have been. It's a civil rights issue, in my opinion.
Yes.
And, you know, you can not like the gays all you want, but at least give them the right to do what you get to do. Especially some of you. Never mind, I'm gonna get in trouble. I'll shut up. Now, that was number one. Number two is we had that horrible thing happen, that awful crime that happened. But because of it, there's been a lot of talk, and I think the talk is important, about race in the country again and ways of dealing with it. And I feel like there's a good tone about how to approach it and people are talking more. And, you know, I think that's good. Good things happen while Brian's gone.
Okay. Didn't it seem like for a while, I mean, racism has always been an issue.
Yeah.
But didn't it seem like for a while there, things were getting way better and you didn't hear about all these...
I don't know. As white guys, it's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you know, I feel like you and I are just in the wrong category sometimes, or you try to stay up on it or sensitive to it or whatever, but maybe we just don't. Maybe we just aren't enough involved, I guess.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm not sure they were getting better, like the Missouri stuff and
the Baltimore stuff. I mean, all the stuff. But it seems like just in the last few years, and maybe it's just that these things are getting brought to the forefront a lot more on all the TV news things, where it's like, yeah, here's something that's going on, and race may have been involved, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like for a while there, it seemed like as a society, we were getting better about that sort of thing. And I don't know.
Yeah. And even while you were gone, President Barack Obama went on a podcast. He was on a podcast, Brian.
What?
He was on WTF with Mark Maron in his garage, surrounded by Secret Service and snipers.
Sure. Yeah, right.
So it's just a weird week. It was just a lot of big stuff, and healthcare stuff got upheld, and there were I don't know, things going on. Freaking NPR had a half-hour interview with Ted Cruz today, which was the most Ted Cruz-y of all Ted Cruz interviews I've ever heard, and I didn't think NPR did interviews like that. What's going on with the world? Everybody's talking and making sense to me today, but anyway.
We heard so little of that while we were in Japan. There was one night where we were sitting in the hotel room, had a few minutes between things we were running around and doing, and I turned on the TV and watched the news, and they had American news come through on the TV as well, because I'm sure that the hotel that we were in attracts a lot of tourists.
Yeah.
And we heard about the gay marriage deal, but then we also heard about Dick Van Patten.
Oh, yeah, Dick Van Patten died.
Dick Van Patten died.
Oh, 80 was enough, he said. How old was he? He was
86.
86 was enough.
And I made that same joke as soon as Tina said, oh, really? How old was he? She goes, 86. I guess 86 was enough.
Nice. Well done. Yeah, that was
amazing.
I like that guy. I liked it when he did Mel Brooks things.
Yeah,
because it was a side of him you never got to see.
Right, because everything was all serious and this serious family stuff and complaining about Tommy and Nicholas and Susan and what the heck they were all doing and David and I can only name four, but Elizabeth and that's where I stopped.
Wow, three is enough for Brian. So you missed Batman coming out. Like all the things happened while Brian was gone, it feels
Wait, wait. Batman came out?
Batman Arkham Knight on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
I thought that now that the gay marriage ban was lifted.
Batman came out. No, Batman did not come out in the way you're thinking.
Robin, it's about time that you and I can seal this deal.
Yeah, you're old enough now. I don't know why he talks like that, but anyway.
Ronald Reagan is Batman. There you go. There's your...
full circle, buddy. Full circle. Anyway, well, I've missed you. I'm glad you're back, and I want to hear all about it. I don't even know where you start. What happened? Give us a story.
Let me tell you a story. This was one that, as soon as it happened, in the process of happening, I thought, all right, this is probably going to be the first story I tell on TMS.
Okay.
But we did a lot of walking around. Basically, we were taking the train everywhere, but in addition to taking the train, I mean, you walk everywhere. Went to Shinjuku one day and Shibuya and Akihabara, but you take the train where you're going and then you walk around that area. And my Apple Watch was saying 22,000 steps on average per day that
gosh, that's insane, dude.
And our feet were killing us.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So after... the night we went to Disneyland Tokyo, we're coming back, and Tina and I said, you know what, I think we're going to do the spa at the hotel tonight, just kind of get a little relaxation in. We remember seeing photos in the elevator of the mineral bath in there, and there's a nice little photo of a couple, guy and a gal sitting there with glasses of wine relaxing in the mineral bath. And all right, we're totally doing that. And unfortunately, they have an age limit at the spa. So you got to be 20 years old to use the spa. Even to use the pool at this hotel.
Oh, weird.
You had to be 20.
Why that?
I don't know. Okay. It's, again, they cater a lot to businessmen. Oh, okay. And so they probably want to just make sure that, you know, if Joe Schmo visiting the Fuji Enterprise company wants to have a relaxing time and not be bothered by a bunch of kids screaming around, then
that makes sense to me. You don't want some kid taking a dump in the pool. I get it, but it just seems like an 18-year-old wouldn't really be a problem. But
right, whatever. Exactly.
Yeah.
They'll even deny you entrance if you've got obvious tattoos. But that's
obvious tattoos.
If you've got tattoos,
really
not big on the tattoos out there.
What if that's because the Yakuza are all about the tattoos? Maybe that's their way of keeping the mob out. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Wow, I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Let's see. There you go. So So Tina and I said, all right, well, we'll do this. Let's do the thing. We flip on the TV screen to kind of figure out hours. And again, we see that same photo of the couple lounging in the mineral baths and then the times that they're open. We're like, oh, perfect. We've got like an hour and a half. Let's go down there.
Yeah.
So head on down there. We pay our entrance fee because they also charge you for to go in the baths. We've got our swim trunks on, but we've got clothes on over them. And the lady says, okay, well, in the lobby of this place, oh, you need to take your shoes off. All right, cool. Good with that. She gives us little slippers. We put on the slippers, put our shoes over on the side. And then she says, okay, sir, you'll need to go to that locker room and change. And ma'am, you'll go into this locker room and change. There's robes in there and towels. And by the way, this is all, by the way, in her very thick Japanese accent, not nearly the level of English that I'm providing for you here.
All right. I can imagine that she's has to deal with right. English speaking the clientele all the time, but she's probably not as proficient as one might be. I get
and
it.
And she looks at us and says, by the way, this is a traditional Japanese bath, so no clothes.
Whoa.
And we're like, well, no swim trunks, right? No, no clothes.
No clothes.
Okay.
Have your wiener out, Daniel-san.
So we hop over into our individual locker rooms. And she gives us a key to a locker. I've got locker number 3. And I'm looking at the locker numbers, and the locker room is just about empty. There's one dude, you know, just came out of the bath, fully naked, and he's toweling himself off. And my locker happens to be the one right opposite him.
Uh-oh.
Like, basically, he's got locker number 35. I've got locker number 2. And in this narrow little aisleway of 3 feet, I'm going to have to disrobe inches.
Yeah.
from towel and man.
Wow.
So I've got my swim trunks on. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to suss this out really quick. I want to make sure that I'm not going to walk in there fully stripped down, swinging around, going into this mineral bath. And there's like 5 guys sitting there in swim trunks going, oh, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. That's a good idea. So
decide, all right, let's suss this out. So keep my swim trunks on, put the robe on. Walk over to the mineral bath area, stick my head in there, and I see this mineral bath area. It's not co-ed. Tina's got her own. I've got my own. So right. flagrant misrepresentation by the photos.
I agree. How about some equality, Japan?
Exactly.
Jeez.
And there's nobody in there. I'm like, all right, yeah, this looks all right. So I go over back to the shower, strip down, take a shower, put my robe back on, leave my swim trunks off, grab a towel, walk in there. And I get in there, and I'm still, you know, basically there's this like, all right, am I going to do this? Is this happening? I guess this is happening, right? Is this really happening? And I'm thinking, you know, it's the mineral bath isn't deep.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting on the ground on the base of the mineral baths, it's like a, you know, it's maybe a foot or so deep. Yeah. So you've kind of got to recline back if you want to really fully soak in it. And there's not like, you know, there's not room where you're going to be deep.
Right.
If somebody's coming in, it's not like your unit is so far down this pool that it can't be seen. Plus, it's clear.
And there are like 4 other guys in there right now?
There are no other guys in there.
Okay,
just me.
Okay.
So I decide, all right, you know, when in Rome. And so I drop the robe and I slide into the pool, or into the hot springs, and I'm kind of relaxing there. And still have it to myself, and I'm just kind of like looking around. There's this TV on the wall.
Yeah.
And it's showing a Japanese game show. Now, there's the 2 kinds of Japanese game show. There's the one you always see clips of,
right,
where it's people dressed in banana costumes sliding into a cream pie or whatever.
Right. You just nailed the entire genre right there. That's amazing that you did that in less than a sentence.
EDC is, you know, E. David Croft, ironic name, is searching frantically for a video he can post in the chat room.
I'm sure.
But then the other kind of Japanese game show are like these celebrity panels and either hidden camera video, like candid camera kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it always looks the same, where they've got the camera showing, or the screen is showing the hidden camera stuff, but there's always a superimposed little square of the celebrity's face sitting there watching it like, oh, and then reacting to it and starting to laugh. And they put words on it, and they put little art, animated cartoons of
a little bear or something dancing in the corner.
Oh, right. He's an alligator chewing on a piece of cheese or something like that. And it's this hidden camera show where they have a little prank set up, and then they pause right after the prank goes off, and then the panelists have to guess what's going to happen.
Okay.
And I get this all just based on context. You know, it's like there's red and green text underneath the celebrity, and sometimes they choose green and sometimes they choose red. And so you can kind of tell.
Sure.
It's like, all right, this is what they're guessing.
Yeah.
And all I could think to myself is the next thing they're going to show is hidden camera video of this fat, bald tourist walking into a mineral bath salon at his hotel. And pause the video, and is it going to be, is he going to drop the robe? Is he going to be wearing swim trunks?
Oh, my gosh. That is so true, dude. That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. So did anyone ever come join you?
No one ever showed up. As I was leaving, and here's the funny thing also, it's, you know, there were no, all the people that I saw in the locker room, as I was coming out, there was another guy getting back in, or who was going to be going in,
yeah,
and American tourist. And then here's another guy who's Australian tourist who's hanging out. There's no Japanese people in the, staying at the hotel. It's all tourists basically.
Yeah. You're telling me I got to have my dingo out in the pool?
Exactly. It's not a knife.
That's not a pool. Yeah. That's very weird.
So, yeah. So I had the whole thing to myself for the half an hour that I sat in there. And
yeah,
Tina, unfortunately, had a much different experience. So it was a 70-year-old woman who was taking that opportunity to sit next to the mineral bath pool and scrub the crap out of her legs while she was waiting to get in. And loofing like there's no tomorrow.
Wait, 70-year-old?
70-year-old woman.
And she was Japanese or some other descent?
She was, I think she was Japanese, and she was, of course, fully unclothed.
Yeah.
And
Raisin woman.
arms flapping in the breeze.
That's amazing. Well, you know, there's a certain, we have a theme for this segment we're going to have all week where Brian tells stories. Hold on.
Suppose you tell me when the war is going to end. This one against the Japs, I mean.
There you go. That's our that's our theme. Fascinating. You've got toilet stories, I'm sure, because those toilets are rad over there.
Toilets are awesome. You got
the flight over you mentioned on a text was a hoot. Something happened that was weird, and you were going to tell me about it. Do you remember what that was?
Mostly the Dreamliner, just how cool the Dreamliner was. But there,
even better.
Tina did get stuck on the flight from Denver to Vancouver because we connected in Vancouver on the way.
Yeah.
She got stuck next to Cliff Clavin, basically. I mean, this guy. She had her face buried in her book. Tina's going to read.
Yeah.
And this guy still had to make comments on everything. It was like, sure is a lot of sunlight coming through the window, huh? yes. My wife is way in the back of the plane. I got the front seat. I don't know how that worked out. Yeah. And it's like the whole time, the whole 2.5 hours he's talking.
Ask the wife how that worked out. Maybe there was a reason she got in the back of the
exactly.
plane.
Exactly. You go ahead and tell, we didn't get seats together. Darn, I know I bought the tickets, but oh well, huh?
Mm. Well, I might be, some may sense a little giddiness in my voice, but I'm just so glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back. And big thanks to Jerry for filling in.
Yeah.
He did an awesome job. And thank God I didn't have to do have any talk about serious stuff.
Right? Exactly. Sheesh. All right. Well, let's keep it rolling. We'll do a show, guys. I mean, this is what we do. And Daryl's coming on next. He'll hang out with us for a bit. I feel a little rusty. I missed 3 days last week. But
I know. How does this whole thing work?
I don't even know. But I do know this. I have a theme. Here you go. All right, dig in, everybody. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Scott and Brian know the physical benefits of a standing desk. Turns out there are benefits to focus and mood as well. My sister is an elementary school teacher outside of Detroit who would like to introduce standing desks to her students. While she would like to have an entire class set of these desks, roughly $8,500 worth, she's starting small and hoping her dedication will encourage the district to fill in the gaps. For more information and to donate, please visit tinyurl.com/standtolearn.
I like it. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes. I get all my culture from the Morning Stream.
Do you really?
Oh, do you?
Well, thankfully. Yes.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good. Daryl is the secret ingredient of today's American Top Chef, or whatever the hell that was called. What was that called? What was that show? Where he'd go, potatoes!
Oh, that was Iron Chef.
Iron Chef America. Daryl's our secret ingredient. Welcome
today's
to the show.
Secret ingredient.
Potato! Daryl's here. He's going to do a little Star Trek trivia today. We're back to the normal routine here. And
yeah, and speaking of weirdness that happened when Brian was gone.
Yeah, what was that?
And people getting interviewed and stuff.
Yeah.
I got to interview Leonard Nimoy's son.
What?
Oh, cool. Is this for the Kickstarter thing?
Yeah, on This Week in Trek.
How's that Kickstarter doing?
It's got 55 hours to go, and it's not there yet, So everybody needs to go pledge.
Is it close? Are we almost there? They've got it on the main page.
It's close, yeah.
You'd think having it promoted on the main page would do it. I'm going to here. Where is it?
50,000 to go.
Taking a look here. Now it's not on the main page. Oh, well. Well, hopefully they get their goal. Oh, there it is. View Project. Yeah, they're at 549 grand. They are 50 grand away from their goal. Man, get on it, everybody. And it was a good interview. You had fun?
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, I'll bet. Did he say?
I was a pile of poo because I was all nervous. And I called and I said, "You're no schlub. Tell us about blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
Michael Gaines facepalmed when
you said you're no schlub. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he sound like Leonard Nimoy? Like, is his voice and his cadence and the way he talks?
Yeah. It's not quite as gravelly and low, but probably because he hadn't smoked.
Oh, yeah. Nimoy smoked a lot for a long time there. Yeah. Like 30 years or something. Did he spill any interesting beans? Like, my dad slept with the ears on to get into the role or something like that.
he really hated Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, he that haunts him to his final days. Did he? I mean, like, were any bombshells dropped in your interview?
No, nothing anybody can't hear anywhere else.
Okay, well. There you have it.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Sounds like it's going to be a good interview. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Daryl, it's Trek Nerd time. It's time for Mashup, though. We got to play this. And I'm always nervous to click on this because, A, it might be in like 14K. but B, it might be embarrassing. And who knows what it is. But Ice Worm threw it together. Here it is. A Mashup, number 36.
Star. I hunger.
If we like them, we'll say more dots.
Yeah, we'll say more dots. More dots. Ooh, they smell like crotch. They're a little cheesy smelling.
Huh. No, they don't smell like any crotch I knew, or I'd be having more crotches.
It smells like bacon cheddar crotch.
Yeah, copy that one out. These don't smell like any crotch I knew, or I'd have more crotches.
Look at my donut. All right, everybody, get out your donut.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I
really, really
want. So tell me what you want, what you
really, really
want. I'll tell you what I want, what I
really, really
want. So tell me what you want, what you
really, really
want. I wanna.
Oh man, you know, it's like a fever dream with Mike. You know, Freakish Lemon usually kind of has there's a rhythm to it. These are just like all over the damn map, but hey, more power to you. Daryl, it's the next generation up today. We're doing one of those. Up the Long Ladders, an episode. The Enterprise picks up a strange distress code. Riker says the code is an SOS message. Picard says the code hasn't been used in centuries. What sector does Picard tell Riker the code originated from? Your options are the Ficus sector. B, the Takara sector. The Ficus sector, seriously. C, the Lagana sector. Or D, the Glintera sector. Glintera, does that sound right? All right. Ficus, Takara, Langana, or Glintera? Sorry, Glintera. These names are stupid. Anyway, one of those is the answer. I can promise you that. We don't have anything to test yet, do we?
No.
We're test free.
However,
yeah.
I picked up a crap ton of Kit Kats while I was out there. Different flavored Kit Kats. Now, part of me wants to send them to you guys right away so we can test them on the show. The other part of me is thinking, maybe I hold on to these for Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars, and we blindfold somebody for a taste test to see how many of the flavors they can identify.
That's not a bad idea. If you can keep them in this weird heat wave we're all having, if you can keep them in somewhat solid form, I think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that part shouldn't be a problem.
By the way, Nerdtacular Check 2015, just looking at the countdown. We are 31 days, 7 hours, 29 minutes, and 36 seconds away.
Crazy. Crazy.
Jeez. All right. Nerdtacular.com for details. All right. So we won't do any of that, but Daryl, did you bring a little Shatner business?
Hey.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, in 1966 on this day, if that's what you mean,
yeah.
The visual effects photography of Baylock's Cube is made for the TOS episode The Corbomite Maneuver by the Howard Anderson Company.
Remind me what the Cube was. Was that a big special effect thing, or what was it?
Yeah, it was a rotating red, yellow, blue cube.
That's right. That was the first episode I had seen when they put out the redone special effects versions mm-hmm. of the thing, which I guess now are kind of considered the versions of, you know, that's TOS now, basically.
Yeah.
And fans and non-fans alike seem pretty pleased with that treatment. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking that cube never looked better than that day.
Yeah.
Because they kept it kind of old school still, but made it look better. I don't know. That was weird. That whole special effects treatment, I think, is pretty damned impressive that they did on that whole thing.
Yeah. Everything was, I mean, if I was in charge, that's exactly the way I would have done it.
Yeah, like true hardcore fans didn't even, they were up in arms when they heard about it.
Right.
But the actual results.
You're Ted Turnerizing the.
Yeah, remember that? That is, I think some people used, they evoked his name.
Yeah.
Is he still alive, by the way?
Ted Turner, yeah.
Is he?
Sure.
Let's take a look here. Yeah, he's only 76. He's still here.
Sure.
What's he doing? Just laying
just
in money?
Just colorizing his life. Just yeah. remembering the times with Jane Fonda and how in shape she was from all of her workouts.
She really was. Those are the days. Those are the salad days of Jane Fonda. she's, by the way, very funny in that show with Lily Tomlin on Netflix.
Oh, really? The Netflix one or Hulu, whatever
I think
it is.
It's Netflix. It's very funny. Kim got way into it, and it's... Those two are, they're kind of, especially Lily Tomlin, she's kind of a national treasure, that woman.
She really is, yeah.
She holds up. All right, Daryl, back to your question here. Ficus, Takara, Langana, or Glintera? Which one of those was the sector that Riker picked up the SOS message in?
Well, only one of these sounds familiar. The other ones sound like some weird food from different lands.
Yeah.
One of them looks like lasagna.
Yeah, it does.
The lasagna sector.
It's all Garfield and lasagna. Sounds really good.
Yeah.
Well, so do your process of elimination. I always like how you do that.
Oh, I thought you didn't like that.
No, I enjoy it.
I'll do it anyway.
It's a hoot.
Takara is a Japanese thing. Brian probably had some of that.
Had some Takara.
It probably arrived on an automated plate on a big conveyor belt.
Oh, the conveyor belt sushi, man. That was...
Was it good?
That was an experience, yeah.
Was the food good? Was it actually good?
It was really good. You know, even in like the what I would consider to be like a fast foody kind of sushi place,
yeah,
the sushi was fantastic. And we... This was such a foodie trip. It was like I wanted to make sure I hit all of the basics. I wanted ramen. I wanted yakitori. I wanted tempura. I wanted teppanyaki. You know, I wanted to make sure I got like all of the.
Did you get the yakisoba?
We had the because that's the soba noodles that you have in the broth, right?
Right, right. It's like ramen, but not.
Yes, I guess. It's like ramen with the thicker buckwheat noodles. We did. We had that the first day.
Yeah,
so
good. Is it good? All right.
Yes.
You had me at thicker buckwheat noodles.
Thicker buckwheat noodles. Mm. Otay.
Otay. They're the best with him. little picture of buckwheat with an OK sign.
That's right. That's all I can see. Actually, I can't even see the original. I see Eddie Murphy doing it. That's all I see.
That's all there is. He ruined it. He destroyed it. There's nothing. Buckwheat doesn't exist outside of the Eddie Murphy sphere now.
I know.
It's crazy he did that. All right. Sorry. So, Takara, off your list.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And the shinier version of that Glintara is also off the list.
All right, shiny, got it. No shiny.
And also off the list would be the Garfield food.
The Lagana.
Lasagna sector.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With you.
So that leaves Ficus.
That leaves Ficus, the one that sounds the stupidest, but you say that's the right one, eh?
It sounds familiar, and it must be from this.
Let's find out. Is he right?
Congratulations.
Damn it, you're all right.
You're a winner.
Picard says it came from the Ficus sector. The Enterprise encounters a ship, and they are surprised to discover that some of the cargo is highly advanced, and the other half is not. They discover a large community of Irish people on the ship. Oh, yeah, that's that one with the Irish people.
Oh, the Irish people in the cargo bay.
Yeah, the alien Irish. Here's a clip of Riker hitting on one of the women. All right, so here's that.
And what are you staring at? You never seen a woman before.
I thought I had.
Commander, may I present my daughter, Brenna Odell?
Pleased to meet you, ma'am.
You may have all the time in the world, but I've dozens of frightened and hungry children and women to look after.
And what about the men?
Well, I'm sure they'll find their comfort, as they always do, in the bottom of a mug of homebrew.
You know, like all the Irish do.
They got all those cows and chickens to take care of, too.
That's right.
We've got a special set of phasers, they say.
That's what you find in the ficus sector.
Yeah,
right,
that's
there.
Great. The Irish are all... The ficus sector is lousy
the
with the...
The ficus. Or the other way
around. So stupid. Daryl, congratulations. You've worked your week beginning in a well way. That doesn't make any sense. It's always fun, always good. Daryl's a Trek nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And make sure you check out his Spock Jr. episode. Well, what's his actual name?
Adam.
Adam.
That's it. Adam Baldwin.
Nimoy.
Adam Nimoy. There you have it.
Adam Spock.
Check it. Adam Vulcan Spock.
You've probably seen him before, too, if you've ever seen the Trek bloopers. He's the little kid that runs up to him on the bridge and says, "Hi, Daddy."
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. I didn't know that was him. Well, I guess that would be him. Duh. Now it makes sense. I should go back and watch those. Those are on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Daryl, play a game with us now, won't you?
Okay. Is this a car scene in Star Trek or not?
All right. Car scene in Star Trek or not. Wait. I got a theme. I really do. I have one for you. You ready? Here, let's see. Okay. All right. What was it again?
Is this a car that was seen in Star Trek or not?
Okay.
1969 Ford Mustang.
Seen in Star Trek. So it would have been one of these like time travel businesses.
A holodeck recreation of something or... Mm-hmm. Or they visit the gangster planet or something like that. The 1969 Ford Mustang.
Yeah.
Did they ever holodeck like into the Summer of Love?
I don't know. Where Data got his first real six string.
That's right. Well done.
I don't know, but it does ring a bell for me for some reason. Like somebody was
four wheels.
They were really into like it's like how Geordi was with fire. Not who was into the firearms. I think that was Sulu actually.
Oh, was into like American firearms, like
The way that Picard was into weapons or whatever. Maybe it was Kirk or somebody was into ships, like boats. Maybe that was Picard. So it'd be like Riker. Yeah, I'm a big fan of early 19th century whatever.
Sure.
I feel like I've seen that.
All right, well, let's go with it.
All right, we say yes, I guess, that it was Star Trek. Or it was seen there, I guess.
If you went in my driveway in 2003, you would have seen one of these, but you wouldn't have seen it on Star Trek.
Oh. Whoa, Daryl.
Just my favorite car.
You had that car?
Yeah.
What happened to it? Why'd you get rid of it?
Oh, because I was restoring it, and it was just costing too much.
Oh, that must have been a hard day, man. Right?
Yeah.
There was
yeah,
no place was to put his phone for periscoping.
Right. Exactly. Freaking periscopes.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
Hello, Frog Pants Crew. Hi. Frog Pants Crew. I've been a listener since the first episode when I was in high school. I've achieved my dream of graduation animation school, and I've worked at Pixar as well as Moonbot Studios, who did that animated Chipotle Scarecrow ad. That thing's excellent. I've recently finished directing my first animated short called Viva Lucha! Ay, 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 ay! About the greatest luchador to ever live. Check it out at bit.ly/Viva Lucha!
I'm going there
Viva
right
the
now.
Show, though. J.D. Gardner.
I love it, dude. Somebody who was in high school and listened to our
no
dumb
kidding.
Show.
No kidding.
Let's see. Here it is. I'll play a little of Viva Lucha just for fun.
Okay.
It's on. Oh, I love it already.
L.A., King of the Ring. And raise high flying antics a second to none. The greatest wrestler who's ever lived.
It's all very visual. You need to go watch it, everybody.
So cool. I mean, this Yeah, this is so well done.
I'm into this. Here, let's see. There's a little scene later where he's... That's awesome. All right, I'm going to go watch it later. That's awesome. bit.ly/VivaLucha.
Viva Lucha!
I like it. CNN made a mistake.
Okay.
Big shocker, I know. CNN did dedicated an entire segment to what they thought was showing an ISIS flag, you know, the terrorist group.
Right, right.
At a gay pride parade. everyone's covering the gay pride parade, you know, and this one right. That was in London. CNN international assignment editor Lucy Pauley was walking down the street in London when she encountered a gay pride parade. How do you just encounter one? Anyway, whatever.
You just happen to stumble upon a gay pride parade.
Well, hello, I didn't see you there. She was shocked when she saw someone carrying what looked like an ISIS flag in the crowd. The only problem, the flag was actually a parody of the ISIS flag, and it was covered in with images of dildos and bum plugs.
Nice. Oh, look at this.
Yeah,
oh,
the man. The man in black and white was waving what appeared to be a very bad mimicry, but a clear attempt to mimic the ISIS flag. It wasn't a very good one. But Kapali said, if you look at the flag closely, it's clearly not Arabic. In fact, it looks like it could be gobbledygook. I seem to be the only person who spotted this. CNN has already pulled the video from their official website, but there is versions of it on YouTube. They screwed up. They thought it was an ISIS flag, and it wasn't. And I've seen that you need to watch the video if you get a chance. Because it's really funny to hear them talk so seriously about this flag.
Right.
Because they're like, now this threat is unknown at this point. We don't know who is there with the flag or how they were able to enter the parade. But looking at the flag waving in real time, you're like, dude, I know what those are.
Right. That's huge. It's a huge flag.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know what? Maybe a little journalism sometime. Right. Like, you know what? I don't know. Brian, when I was growing up, tell me if I'm wrong here.
Okay.
But when I was growing up, journalism involved fact checking.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of research, maybe?
Yeah, just a little bit.
What, can't you just go to Twitter and say, hey, does this look like an ISIS flag to you guys?
Yeah, I don't think you can. Okay. I think good journalism still requires some investigative reporting.
Gotcha.
I don't want to blow everybody's mind or, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, freak you out. But that's my understanding.
All right. Okay. I don't know. That seems like you're going out on a limb there. But
just a little bit. Just a
little
bit.
You might
be
expecting too much from the media.
That is probably true.
Probably is true.
Seth MacFarlane's Ted 2 got stomped by dinosaurs and just didn't do as well as they'd hoped. Blockbuster Jurassic World was $54.2 million in the week, which just barely edged out Pixar's new Inside Out, which, by the way, Brian, you weren't here for me to tell you.
No.
Fantastic movie.
I did hear you guys talking about it on the Jury TMS.
What a lovely piece of filmmaking.
I appreciate the fact that Jury said, all right, spoiler alert, and I did actually pull the earbuds out of my ears for about a minute.
Good.
So that I wouldn't hear anything. DTNS folks had Ted 2.
Yeah, they did, and it did okay, $32.9 million.
Yeah.
But that's not numbers you want to be excited about.
No, he spent $18 on that. They spent $18 on that movie. So, which is the same amount we spend on Pitch Perfect 2, which raked in about six times as much.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. This is all about value per investment when it comes to the draft.
That's right.
Max, the family dog film about a heroic war dog, open to a better than expected $12 million at Warner Brothers and MGM. So there's that. That worked out okay for them. Ted 2, the R-rated sequel to 2012 hit featuring the trash-talking bear, has been expected to make a history by hitting $50 million along with Jurassic World and Inside Out, but didn't do it. Didn't quite hit the mark. This one's got Marky Mark and Amanda Seyfried in it.
Yes.
Seyfried. Right,
playing Sammy L. Jackson or whatever her name is in the trailer.
That's right. Let's see, came in more than 15 million under projections. That's not good. I think people might be, and I don't say this because I'm sick of it or that everyone is. Obviously, some people wouldn't be, but I think maybe people might be feeling a little fatigued on Seth MacFarlane's style right now.
Yeah, maybe, because the Million Ways to Die in the West was just a clunker at the box office.
Did not do well, no. I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it.
But it's too bad, because I do like his style. I like his humor, and I think Family Guy still works for me.
Yeah.
I still watch that every week.
Yeah. It's still funny.
But maybe it's just a whole movie. Maybe a whole movie of that doesn't work because it does seem to work better in small chunks.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Here's a fun story for you.
Okay.
A guy records trash-talking doctors during a... This says surgery, but it's not surgery. It was during a procedure. This makes me wish I would have recorded mine. And he walked away with $500,000. A man in Virginia was awarded $500,000 from a lawsuit after he inadvertently recorded medical professionals talking about him while he was under anesthesia.
How did he inadvertently record medical professionals?
Well, here's the funny bit. The man who remains unnamed... unnamed man! What's his power? Does he have a power?
Ability... no, you got nothing.
You got nothing? See, nothing. Jet lag kicking in.
It's exactly, that's what it is. Can't really do anything. Excelsior.
There you go, perfect. Let's see. He was intended to record his interaction with a doctor before receiving a colonoscopy in order to recall the care instructions the doctor provided. In other words, he wanted to record that he said, now make sure you take this med or whatever. And he messed up and had the thing recording the entire time.
Oh, I forgot to turn it off.
Now, I don't know how he made it into the room with it. That's the one question I have that this doesn't answer. Because I don't think you're allowed to have stuff with you, but whatever. Anyway, when he played the recording back, man realized he had recorded much more than the care instructions. He captured the entire operation, which included multiple people talking poorly of him.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see. It was medical. So there was a medical assistant, the anesthesiologist, like the hot lady that worked on me, and then the guy putting the tube up your hooter. this happened on April 18th, 2013. While the victim was sleeping, Tiffany Ingram, the anesthesiologist, said to the patient, after 5 minutes of talking to you in pre-op, I want to punch you in the face and man you up a little bit. After 5 minutes of talking to you in pre-op, oh, that's written twice. Well,
that's
I don't know
why. Twice for some reason.
The medical assistant noted that the patient had a rash on his arm, and Ingram was recorded saying that the man or the assistant may catch some syphilis on your arm or something, added that it's probably tuberculosis in the penis, so you'll be okay. Ha ha ha.
Weird.
Yeah. After hearing the recording, the man sued the two doctors and their practices for defamation and malpractice, and he won $500,000 in a 3-day trial.
Wow.
So, you know, this is how I see it, dude. Like, people in the workplace, no matter where you're at, doing routine things, and colonoscopy is pretty routine. I kind of get, this is not me letting them have a pass for being dicks,
right,
okay?
Right.
And you want your caregivers to be a cut above it, of the rest. Do no harm, and that means this kind of harm too, in my opinion. But I kind of understand how, you know, day after day, fat guy after fat guy, tube after tube, you might start to just, and if you're friendly with everybody that you work with, you might say something under, you know, like you wouldn't normally say.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the lesson here is, people are dumb and don't do it or you'll lose $500,000. There.
Right.
That's the
lesson. Yeah. I mean, I can understand that, yeah, you're going to do this stuff and after the first several, the conversations you're going to be having won't have anything to do with the procedure you're doing. Like when you're working on changing out a muffler,
mm-hmm.
like, oh yeah, did you see the woman who brought this in? Hubba hubba. She's a whole hottie.
Yeah.
You know, but geez, yeah, that's tough. You just got to watch what you say. You can't,
you never know, or you're going to get busted. Mm-hmm. So don't do that. I kind of feel bad for the guys. That's no fun to hear that. Like,
pretty bad stuff doing tuberculosis of the penis.
It's mean, dude. It's freaking mean.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, Harry Potter.
Maybe he was a dick in the waiting room,
though.
Well,
he could have been.
And pissed off Tiffany, the anesthesiologist.
Yeah, or Janice in accounting.
Right.
That's for, all the Janice in accounting lovers out there.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have an eye follow-up today, and we'll see how that goes, but it's weird. After having this procedure done, it definitely fixed the eye, like the focus problem, but it's weird. Now when I see headlights at night in the one eye that they just did, it's like, you know, like an old window that had, you know, people used to put soap on windows.
I was going to say, you've seen like a halo effect basically around it?
Kind of, except it's more like a smear.
Okay.
And when I see a bright light, it's still, everything's in focus, but the light creates like this weird, like soapy window effect.
Hmm.
Hope that's normal.
That doesn't sound normal. No. That does not sound like something you want.
No, it doesn't. I'll find out today. It could be a side effect of having to do what they had to do. I don't know. But all I know is I can see fine. So that's good enough for me. Harry Potter Adventures coming to a stage play near you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Sign up now, Brian, while you can, because it's going to be awesome. 18th anniversary of the publication of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, a.k.a. Sorcerer's Stone here in the States. Author J.K. Rowling has announced a new stage play that will tell a new story starring the beloved boy wizard from her books.
She's really done a 180 since finishing the last book and saying, I'm done telling the Harry Potter story. I want to move on to other things like the, the cuckoo detective or what was it? It was the
some detective novel.
Casual Vacancy. And
has she done anything else besides that?
There was one other one that she did under a pseudonym, and I can't remember what it was, but neither one have done really well, so I think she's saying, maybe I'm not done with Harry Potter.
Yeah, they got the new movie about the dangerous creatures and where to spot them, or however it goes.
Right.
And I got another this thing coming, so yeah, I think she's back, baby. Harry Potter, back in business.
Right.
Squarespace.com sponsoring today's program. If you would like to go to squarespace.com and get a free trial, that's easy because that's what it is. You don't even have to put a card in. You just go try the thing and you build a website you can be proud of, like my daughter's photo site, which I'm really pleased with. It looks awesome.
Cool.
You can build it out, use templates they've already got to customize the hell out of it. They have really, really nice responsive designs, which means it's going to look good on desktop, tablet, phone, wherever you can view the web. And we want to give you 10% off. So after that trial, you decide you want to stay, use the code MORNING. That's for 10% off your order. That's MORNING over there at squarespace.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's major spoilers with Steven Schleicher, who we didn't have last week either. We missed him horribly. We haven't had Veronica in a week either, so we're looking forward to talking to her after that. And some emails. So stay tuned for all that. Before that, Brian brought music. What'd you bring?
I did. So I guess my computer might be experiencing some jet lag as well, because firing it up this morning and trying to download, purchase stuff to the people who've requested just wasn't working. So I had a couple of requests lined up, but because I couldn't download the songs to play them, I'm picking stuff out of my own library that I've already got that I like, that I think you guys will like too. And today is all Hall & Oates. So covers of Hall & Oates.
Wow.
We're going to start off with a band called Melee. This one is from their 2007 album, Devils and Angels. It's a cover of You Make My Dreams.
Oh, here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
What I want, you've got, and it might be hard to handle. But like a flame, it burns the candle. The candle feeds the flame. What I've got's full stock of thoughts and dreams to scatter. Can you pull them all together? And how I can't explain. But you make my dreams come true.
What's wrong?
Well, I want to call my teacher. It's her birthday. I want to tell her something nice.
Well, how about happy birthday to you? Happy birthday to you.
No, everybody sings that. I want to sing, something different.
Well, how about roses are red, violets are blue.
Oh, forget it. I'm just going to phone her.
What's everybody doing?
Burn in hell, you little green bastard. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. Hello, welcome back.
What's that? Sound like Billy Crystal.
Do you remember, it was, I think it was a segment on The Electric Company, but it was this weird little animated dudes that were like black and white, and they had these big faces, and they just would have these conversations like that. It was totally for kids. But watching it now, weird as hell, that stuff.
Yeah, sounds like
yeah,
it.
Super, super weird.
It's very much sounds, I guess it wouldn't be Billy Crystal, but it sounds like the Billy Crystal bit that he used to do on SNL with...
Oh, right. Christopher Guest, yeah.
Christopher Guest was like, hey, you ever, you ever feel like, shoving a Statue of Liberty figure up my nose as far as see how far I can get it to go? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Boy, that's painful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love those guys. They were great. I don't know what that is, but it's super cool, and people should look it up on YouTube. I don't even know how to search for it. I can't remember, but it's cool. So go check it out.
All right.
All right, Brian.
What's everybody doing?
Okay, what we're doing right now is calling Stephen Schlenker. That's what we're doing.
Okay. As we should do that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's waiting, and
seems like the right thing to do,
he
right?
He likes to come on the show and be a part of it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Stephen Schlenker. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you?
How are you, man? You having a good
week? Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Brian. Welcome back.
Your computer, you had some computer problems. What happened there?
So like it was a week ago, I was trying to edit some video, and suddenly the computer just started crawling. And I was like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And so finally, by Monday afternoon, I was like, I got to call Apple support and find out what's going on.
What happened?
Turns out my hard drive crapped out.
Oh, no.
But the good thing is, my computer is old enough that it's under that Apple recall of the 3 terabyte drives from like 2012, 2013.
Oh, yeah. Those were tricky drives, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Took it down the street to our local authorized repair guy, and took him a few days to get everything in and repaired, but got it back on Sunday.
Nice.
And didn't cost me a thing.
Nice.
So I'm happy about that.
Well, that's good. Nothing. Hard drives, they fail. That's definitely
yeah, they do.
One of life's great truths. Yeah, it'd be great if they didn't, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I realized yesterday, it didn't even occur to me, but I am suddenly, with the various upgrades I've done over the last year, it kind of crept up on me, but I am all SSD now on all my main computers. Mm-hmm. So my main recording Mac is all SSD. My PC that I've been recently tweaking and upgrading, all SSD. I don't have a single spinning hard drive in my production machines now.
If this hadn't been a free upgrade, a free repair, I would have gone with an SSD.
Isn't that
but
weird?
My laptop's got an SSD and I love it. So
it's great, right? The speed.
It's so fast.
So different. Yeah. Brian, you got one of those cool hybrid drive deal setups, right?
I do. Yeah. The Fusion Drive, Fusion Drive.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I guess. Yeah. And those work pretty well, like swapping things between. So you
I
have
got
to.
No complaints about that.
Yeah.
Actually,
big storage.
I think the one. Yeah. I guess this is a Fusion Drive in the little thin iMac. For some reason, I was thinking it was all SSD, but. No, I guess it is a combo.
I think that's all they do is the Fusion for the IMAX, even the newest ones.
I think so,
not sure. But anyway, Steven's here. It's major spoilers time. That means pop culture, comics, movies, all the fun stuff that we love talking to Steven about. It's been a little while since we've talked to you. And it turns out, we talked about on Current Geek a tiny bit, but Miles Morales back as Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Well, he never left as Spider-Man. I mean, he was over in the Ultimate Universe, and the Ultimate Universe came to a conclusion. Everything wrapped up. Maybe... to the joy of many people, or maybe not to others, but with Secret Wars going on and with Secret Wars coming to an end, they're launching a whole bunch of new number ones. And one of the new number ones is Spider-Man number one, and it's featuring Miles Morales as the main character.
Wow. Look at him back and ready to roll here.
Yeah.
We speculated on Friday's show whether or not Miles Morales would ever make it to the MCU. Mm-hmm. And Tom contends that that will never happen because it's too complicated to already have Peter Parker to add another person who's literally a different character. It's not like Peter Parker became Miles Morales.
It's not a clone or anything.
I don't know if you guys saw the leaked emails from Sony and Marvel, but they outlined exactly what Spider-Man and Peter Parker can and cannot be in the universe. Now, Spider-Man in the MCU could potentially, depending on how you read it, because they do say alternate versions of Spider-Man, could be of a different ethnicity. But Spider-Man can never be a homosexual. Spider-Man,
they said that,
that never used drugs. It says that right in the document.
Okay.
The other thing is, Peter Parker is always going to be white, so you're not going to see, according to this agreement, you're never going to see a Peter Parker of another ethnicity beyond white.
Wow, was that controversial when it got leaked?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. This was kind of a big deal. This came out like just a day or two before this Miles Morales' Spider-Man post hit. But they basically spelled it out and said, here's what Peter Parker can and cannot do. I think we talked about it last week on the Major Spoilers podcast. But I don't know if we put the story up. I think we did have the story up that, that says that. So you can go check that out.
You know, it occurs to me they could have just said it this way. And I'll try to say this the way I think would have gotten them out of hot water. Because to me, there's so much about, you know, language matters in today's culture. What you say and how you say it matters. So could they have not just said, here is an outline of who Peter Parker will always be in the MCU, colon. And then they say, he is a heterosexual white male living in New York City, period.
Yes, right. Like, and you, not well, say, they did. He's never going to be gay.
He can't be gay. Yeah, because calling it out that way is the problem, not what you're saying. Because you have characters designed all the time, and you say to yourselves, all right, this guy's going to be, he's going to be black. He's going to be, he likes the ladies, and he's going to live in Chicago. Okay, this guy over here is going to be white. He's going to be gay, and he's going to live in this high rise. I mean, you can design a character and give him these attributes, but when you make it sound like you cannot make him gay,
right?
That's when you run into problems. Again, it's just language.
Yeah.
It is. It is, but I, you know, who knows what's going on. I'm trying to find the actual rundown list, if I can find it, but I don't see... Yeah, they have the mandatory character traits, and they had them in a complete list, but I don't see them popping up just at the moment. But it did say that, you know, Spider-Man doesn't kill unless it's through self-defense. Spider-Man doesn't, you know, use, it says Spider-Man does not abuse drugs, which is interesting.
He can dabble.
Yes. Exactly. He can have a beer after a long day.
He can have recreational drug use.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
It has things like Peter Parker cannot have sex with anyone under the age of 16.
Yeah. Ooh,
so it talks about how he is from.
Seems like a good guideline to have.
Well, but again, they're going for, and we know this because of the Holland casting.
Yeah.
We know that he is a high schooler, so he is not going to be someone who's 35 years old having sex with a 16-year-old.
Do they have something in the MCU rules that says he must be a British actor, and like all our British or all our freaking characters now can't be American? What's up with that?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
The only guy left is Chris Evans, I swear. Well, I guess Robert Downey Jr.
Here are all of Peter Parker's character traits. I can't find the one for Spider-Man. His full name is Peter Benjamin Parker. He's a Caucasian and heterosexual. His parents become absent from his life during his childhood. From the time his parents become absent, he is raised by Aunt May and Uncle Ben in New York City. He gains his powers while attending either middle school or college. He gains his powers from being bitten by a spider. He designs his first red and blue costume. The black costume is a symbiote and not designed by him. He is raised in a middle-class household in Queens, New York. He attends or attended high school in Queens, New York, and he attends or attended college in New York City, New York.
So, but depending on how detailed they make these character sheets, you know, they could have avoided that whole thing of Sony being able to say, all right, we're going to make his web shooters organic. You know, they could have said he designs his red and blue costume and he designs his web shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they didn't say anything about web shooters here. They didn't say whether it's organic or whether it's mechanical.
Right.
Yeah. So well, and they've shown us in the last, 10 years, we've had two versions and they've seemed to have been okay with showing both. So maybe, you know what? Let's place a bet right now. Let's forget about all the other speculation about what role he might play in.
Sure.
In Civil War, and then what his standalone movie will be like, and all that stuff. Forget about all that. Let's place a bet. Which Which of the shooters will he have? Organic?
Oh, definitely will be. Since it's MCU, it'll definitely be the mechanical shooters.
Think so? Okay. Because that's more true to the source stuff, as you're thinking there, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Plus, what the greatest thing about the web shooters is the fact that it gave him one more vulnerability. He only had a limited number of those little those little capsules. And when he ran out, it was always a big thing in the comics that, oh, my God, I'm out of fluid. And,
or if it jammed right in the middle of leaping across one giant skyscraper to another.
Exactly. Yeah. It added this extra level of drama to the comics that I thought was really cool.
Another J. Martin suggests, and he's right, we were supposed to be saying the word Excelsior after every mention of Spider-Man today. So we've made terrible, horrible errors here. But this is interesting. The Miles Morales thing's exciting because you also, not only is he coming back to the comics, but in terms of, you know, big new story and all that, but it's the creators of the...
Brian Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli are going to come back and work on the Miles Morales book. So that's good.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, with this whole Secret War thing, I'm finding fascinating. I haven't seen, I'm doing the whole Marvel Ultimate?
Unlimited.
Unlimited. So none of that's caught up yet. I'm still working my way through Spider-Verse and Axis. But
they really should call it Marvel Limited, by the way.
It is a Secret Wars is a crazy, trippy thing that leaves a lot of things unexplained on how Battle World is set up and how people wound up in certain areas, or even how the Thors became this police force across this thing. It's very different and weird. This last week I read the Marvel Zombies versus Age of Ultron, and it wasn't horrible, but it was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that they are going to be bringing all these things together and having just one universe, and then Miles Morales being the Spider-Man of this final universe, I think is a really cool.
True.
You know, it's like what was the DC one? Crisis on Infinite Earths, where they did the whole cleanup thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. They're not saying that Miles Morales is the only Spider-Man. They're saying that Miles Morales is in a book called Spider-Man.
Oh, really? Okay. So they're not going to limit...
We haven't found out what happens to the Amazing Spider-Man title, the Spectacular Spider-Man title. We haven't found out what's going on with the Superior Spider-Man, any of that stuff. And we know that Spider-Gwen is coming back. She's got a number one series, which means that probably we're going to see Peter Parker and Spider-Woman and some others flying around New York City.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, on the heels of Disneyland banning selfie sticks, good news, everyone who's happy with that, selfie sticks are no longer allowed at Comic-Con.
Yeah, actually, this came out just a few days before Disneyland issued their no selfie stick ban. But, you know, I know that Justin Robert Young loves his selfie stick. I got a selfie stick. But when you've got tens of thousands, or in the case of San Diego Comic-Con, 150,000 people walking around, swinging a selfie stick out and kicking somebody in the eyeball is not very safe. So I'm kind of glad that they did it.
Yeah, and as much as Justin likes to get angles of his junk he couldn't otherwise have, I think that those things are annoying as hell in public. And it's not just because I'm looking at them and they bug me. It's because they stick way out in crowded places. You got to go around it. Lady's so excited about taking the shot, she's not paying attention that she just nailed some kid in the eye with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think public places are a bad place for it. Now, if you're just taking it out on a hike with you and your girlfriend and you want to get an awesome view of you standing on some peak or whatever, I am all for selfie sticks for that.
Yeah. I do it all the time, because even in landscape mode, I can't get the shot of both my sons and I in one shot without it looking like a crowded mess. So we just pop it on the end of the selfie stick, take our pictures, and share them.
And it creates this, I see it for what it is, a tool for extending the way you take a photograph. I don't see it as, you know, the hipster stick of doom.
No, it's
but,
not that.
But I'm just saying, you know, let's have some reasonable public awareness, social awareness, you know what I mean?
And Comic-Con and Disneyland are not banning them because they think it's a douchey thing. They're banning them from a safety issue concern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are a couple of other things that were interesting out of this San Diego Comic-Con edict. No live streaming of any programs or events, which means you can't use Google Glass in any of the panels, and you can't use Meerkat or whatever the
Periscope.
Yeah. You can't use any of that. Even on the show floor, they're saying no. Mm-hmm. Obviously, no smoking, but that also includes e-cigarettes and vaping products not allowed at the show. Mm-hmm. And the one that's kind of a no-duh thing, but I'm guessing some people were probably going to show up with these, no drones or flying devices allowed at Comic-Con.
Wow.
Yeah, can't say I'm surprised about that.
Yeah,
as fun as it would be to fly one of those across the show floor and see all the the stuff going on.
It would be cool, but I mean, those things are loud, noisy, and even though I have a couple of DJI Phantoms, they can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
A couple of them. Jeez. Yeah. Well, look at you.
I may be getting the Inspire, so.
I want one, too. I want a nice one.
But you got the old cheapo Parrot.
Oh, yeah. I had one of those a few years ago, but out here in western Kansas, the wind blows too much for it to fly around.
Nick and I are seriously considering like one of those Phantom monsters.
The 3 is a brand new one. It does 4K video. It is fantastic. Yeah. It doesn't have... it's great. The closest thing that I have is the 2, and I've got the mounted GoPro and everything, and the pictures and everything is great. So if you can get the Phantom 3, go for it. I need to get the Inspire 1 for some stock footage stuff that I've been doing around the fields and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so I need something that can stand up to a little bit more winds and has the legs out of the way, because there are times when you're flying those that the propellers and the legs get in the way. If you're trying to get some really good shots.
Oh, sure.
Well, there you have it.
Are drones banned at the Salt Lake City Nerdtacular?
I don't know if they... We had one last year, but it was all outside. Okay. I'm sure it's banned inside. Outside, there's no limits as far as I'm aware. So people can bring whatever they want.
What about selfie sticks?
I'm probably not banned, I'm guessing.
Well, Jerry will be there with his.
So yeah, Jerry will be there. He'll be looking at his junk in the shower. It's fine.
Not banned you this year, but definitely next year.
Steven, I wanted to play a clip real quick because you weren't here to hear it. And I played it with Justin, I want to say, when Brian was gone. But I just think it's the cutest thing ever. You'll recognize it immediately. So for those wondering whether kids got a kick out of Jurassic Park or not, just listen to Schleicher's kid.
What'd you think of Jurassic World?
It was good.
How good?
Really good.
Would you say it was the best movie ever or not the best movie ever?
The best movie ever.
So clearly a generation
has
been impacted by the quality of that movie.
Cool. It really is. And I don't know if you know who Ryan Connolly is, but he is a huge Jurassic Park fan. And he, I think, was about the same age that Mason was when Jurassic Park came out. And that has shaped and influenced his life. And so I shared that with Ryan because I knew he would appreciate just how much, from a young kid's perspective, the movie would impact, him growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We went and saw Inside Out. He loved Inside Out a lot. Mm-hmm. We did a podcast on that on Zach on Film. But when I asked which one did you like better, Jurassic Park or Inside Out, he said that he would love to see them both again. But Jurassic World, is just ahead of Inside Out as far as his favorite.
Yeah,
movie.
I would argue that Jurassic Park is there for kids in a very big way. Like the first one was, and I think there's a generation of people who were kids in 93 that is their Star Wars in a lot of ways. So I think this is totally aimed at them and nailed it. I think honestly that Inside Out is aimed more at people like me.
I think it is. I think it's really aimed at parents.
Yeah.
So if you've got kids that are about to hit puberty, go see this movie because I think it's got a lot of really cool stuff in it. But we took our 4-year-old to it. And I was afraid that it was going to be so boring for him because it deals with a lot of really heady topics.
Pretty heady
unintended.
Issues. Yeah, yeah.
But they do it in such a great way to explain things. Mm-hmm. He sat still the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to get a recording of him, but he always clams up anytime he knows he's being recorded on something.
Yeah.
But that night, as he was going to bed, he went on, my wife said, literally a 5-minute description of the movie and how good it was.
Yeah, I was talking to Wendy about this, and I want her to see it because she's in Sweden. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure it's there yet or if she can get to it easily. But it's basically the perfect cognitive science metaphor.
Yeah, it is. Really good.
And you could probably show this in a science class and get away with it because there's something there. Like this stuff, it's based in these really kind of hard mm-hmm. concepts, and they describe it in ways that are easy to digest. It's really, really fantastic.
Oh, yeah. A beginning psych course at college could build their whole course around this movie.
Yeah.
Make you go see the movie.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. And then talk about the concepts and ideas presented in the film, and you would be able to cover a 10-15-week course with ease.
Yeah, I would completely agree. And that would be, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually hear about that coming mm-hmm. up sometime soon.
That's cool. Brian, I can't wait to see it.
Brian, you'll like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little bit behind us in release dates in Japan for movies. Jurassic World doesn't even come out there until August.
Wow.
Weird.
So we saw ads for that. Mad Max just came out the week we were there.
Psh, like Japan needs more movies about giant lizards.
Maybe that was the holdup.
I think they've got that covered. Brian Dunaway just sent this review of Jurassic World. All right, great.
Good.
Finally, in the news, Lego is at Comic-Con in a big, big way.
Oh, man.
Tell us about that.
if you're going to go to Comic-Con, Lego does this every year. They release these exclusive sets, which are handed out on a lottery system, or you can buy them on a lottery system, and they're limited to like 1,500 sets or figures. This year on the DC side, they have an Arsenal minifigure, which will be given away. They've only got 1,500 of them. Then they also have a little set where they recreate the cover of Action Comics number one with a minifigure Superman holding up a car and smashing it into a little plate. So you've got some things like that. On the Marvel side, the figure is, I forgot which one it was on the Marvel side, but the playset is the Age of Ultron throne room scene. So it's got Ultron sitting on a throne surrounding by four other minifigures. And if you want to see figures that will go for $200-$300 right after Comic-Con, in fact, right now, I believe there's one, they're trying to pre-sell these for $167 on eBay right now. Mm-hmm. A little $10 minifigure is selling, 10, 12, 20 times its price.
Wow.
These are highly sought after. If you do get one and you're thinking of selling them in the future, I would say grab them and wait a few years, because the price escalates the further away from the release date that these minifigures come out, because they don't release them anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so there's a Lego set that I have still boxed up in the other room that came out like 7 years ago that's worth $3,000 online right now. So if you're trying to get something that's actually going to appreciate in value, the Lego minifigures from Comic-Con, those exclusives, if you can get your hands on them, they're going to be worth a lot going down the road.
Nice. Well, there you have it. Keep your eye open. I know Brian will. He loves that crap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
He barely keep his eye open today because he's still
tired.
I feel for him. I know how that feels. It's freaking rough.
I was not expecting it to be this bad.
It's just going to hit you like a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hard part is those days where you have to stay awake. You just have to do it, and eventually you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Steven, always a pleasure, man. Looking forward to your Comic-Con coverage, as always.
Yep. It's already loaded up today, and it's going to continue. The complete schedule is out. I'll be posting that shortly. But I would pay attention to what's going on the movie side and the television side of Comic-Con this year, because I think that's will show off some very telling things going forward.
Cool. Well, I'm pleased to hear it. May your day be filled with love and happiness. Majorspoilers.com is the place. You can also follow them at majorspoilers.com. Anything else you'd like to present?
Nope, I think that's it right now. Love wins, right?
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. Hey, the gays can get married. Woohoo!
Woo-hoo!
See you later. All right.
Love wins. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, so that's been the big hashtag all week.
Oh, has it? Okay, I haven't seen that.
I think that's been it.
I've been off Twitter for a week.
I was going to say, you've been busy being...
off Facebook, off Twitter. I got it.
Busy being fun guy.
That's right.
Fun
guy.
Fun. Getting fun guy in the mineral bath. I am so pleased to say that Veronica's back on the show today. Veronica, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I saw some pictures you took at like El Capitan or something. That was beautiful. What are you doing? That was great.
I was in Yosemite this week.
Nice. For work things or just for fun?
What?
Was it for fun?
I'm not sure what work things.
You're reviewing all the new tech progress.
Yeah,
at,
you were beta testing El Capitan.
Sword, laser, and mountain.
No,
yeah,
I just...
no, it was for vacation. It was nice. We hiked up to Half Dome, infamous Half Dome. It was tough, but it was worth it. It was pretty great.
Your hiking regimen is always impressive to me. I see photos all the time that make me go, man, I should hike more.
No, did you use hike more. Anti-gravity boots?
Yeah.
I did not. I did not. Just my regular old hiking boots.
According to Spock, those aren't available until the year 2030, whatever it is. Well, V, it's always good to have you on. We talked about video games with Veronica. What's going on in the news surrounding our favorite hobby? What's happening today? What's going on?
Well, on the downside of being out of cell range and not having charging and whatnot was that all my little Fallout shelter people were very unhappy with me. That's not really the news story, though, although it is getting back on track now. I've been steadily fixing them, remating them, making sure they have lots of food and water and electricity. Mm. But in other Bethesda news, very interestingly, a Fallout fan sent 2,000 bottle caps to Bethesda. To Bethesda Softworks, and is receiving a free copy of Fallout 4 for his trouble.
Cool, so they're going to do it.
Yeah, this was the question, right? Because we had this news story about him offering that as payment, But we were sure at the time that they would be setting some weird precedent by saying yes. And so the big update is that they said yes somehow. Are they going to now accept anybody with this many bottle caps?
No, just him. Just him. Just for being first, for, you know, being original and having this great idea and, you know, basically saving bottle caps since Fallout 3 came out, which I think is pretty amazing.
That's pretty hardcore dedication to a game universe where you're really just focusing on its weird currency. And then hoping one day you can spend it on a game.
I know. I mean, it really, he had to have the foresight to be like, yeah, there's going to be another one eventually, or at least another title from them that I want to buy that's in this universe. And so he stuck with it and got a free game for his trouble, which I think is pretty amazing. It's just really clever and cute and a fun idea. And it took a lot of effort and he's being rewarded for it.
It would have been bad. Well, I don't know about bad, but I think it's a good thing that Bethesda responded in this way. And I noticed they took a little time to decide, which is interesting. But we live in this time where if they had said, nah, sorry, cool idea, but we can't do it. I feel like the PR hit is worse in 2015 than it would have been in even 2008 or whenever the last game came out.
It's just not worth the bad Twitter response to save for them to save $120 on a special edition or whatever.
Sure, they get the benefit of all this exposure. At the same time, they can actually do a good thing for somebody, and they can lay down the rules and say, well, we can't do this for everybody, but we're going to do it in this case because this is amazing and he was first and all that. It's just a funny time to be, you know, a game developer and publisher. We're watching Blizzard go through some PR problems right now that mostly just deal with player upheaval, less about the game and more about upheaval. And how to deal with that upheaval and still stay true to your product is a really hard challenge. And so I guess if this is as hard as it gets for Bethesda leading up to the release of that game, I guess good on them. But
yeah, I think they handled it exactly right. They handled it the best way possible. It's just a fun thing to do, and I'm excited about the game. I know tons of other people are. I mean, I'm super stoked. I cannot stop playing Fallout Shelter. It's like one of those addictive crack-like games because it's getting me primed and ready for Fallout 4.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you surprised at how well that came off? Because for me, when you hear about people releasing apps in conjunction with mainline games, that's not unusual and not new, but usually they're kind of garbage or they're sort of short-lived or whatever. But this one seems to have actual legs, and I'm, you know, a lot of people, including myself, kind of surprised at how well that thing's put together.
Yeah, I've hit the limit on, I've got 200 people, actually I've got 199 people in a shelter, and
wow,
I can't have any more people in there, so I'm...
Is everything going well? Like, is it balanced out? Like, do you feel like it's
needs a little more
equilibrium?
Yeah, I need a little bit more electricity. I need to destroy a water facility and put in an electrical facility to balance things out.
I didn't realize it had a cap. So the cap's 200?
The cap is 200, yeah.
So
like
when you
actually get to a point where you cannot add any more dwellings.
When you get raided, do you, I suppose just out of sheer numbers, you successfully fend off any threats that come, right?
Yeah, well, I keep a couple really high-powered guys with guns in my opening, in the intro vault entrance, and I've upgraded the vault entrance, so they usually take care of them, or at least the couple first couple rooms take care of them. But I am thinking about sending some of my more useless people out into the world to do some exploring so I can maybe get some better people.
Yeah,
they'll be fine. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, right, exactly. They don't need any stim packs.
Just wipe everybody out. A fire in the kitchen will kill everyone. That's all.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's nice to see a thing that's usually, like I say, kind of a throwaway dumb thing that you don't take very seriously. They kind of are doing right by fans who may not even care about a full-blown Fallout, but want to do something in that universe in a more casual sort of passive way, and here's a way to do it with a decent free to play model, and you know,
free to play except for me. This game has not been free to play. I've easily dumped like $20 into this game already.
Wow, but see, but what you're doing is you're showing the model can work, which is this. It's like, if you give me a compelling thing to play and I find value in it, then yes, I will spend money where it makes sense. If it's just gonna nickel and dime me at every corner, then you resent it and get angry, like most of these games just irritate the hell out of me. But this one is like, you never really truly have to. But if you like it, you want to. Mm-hmm. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Yes,
you're supporting the developers. You're supporting the guys who put some time and effort into this and making the animations and all those great little things that people talk about when you zoom into their rooms. Mm-hmm. There's so much great writing in this game that if you just play it on a surface level, you might miss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think...
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say the only thing I find a little creepy is when you and a lady friend go into a room and come out and she is immediately pregnant, but you've got the same dumb guy smile on you had when you went in there.
I know. I've got like a couple of studs. They're like my go-to guys, and I feel like eventually I'm gonna hit some kind of weird genetic issue.
Yeah.
Like, I need more fresh blood in this vault.
You're gonna
inbreed. There's a lot of sure is nice to spend time with my family at home. Yes. Like, oops.
Weird.
Sorry.
Anyway, well, it's good, and I hope people are enjoying it. Android version's on its way, so that side of the world can soon get their fix on as well. Veronica, always fun to hang out and talk. Are you going to Comic-Con this year? You're totally going, aren't you?
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. I still need to book my travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you excited? Are you?
I am. If I can find a place to stay.
Need to book your travel, find a place to stay. Other than that, all planned out, ready to go.
Totally ready. Yeah.
Are you cosplaying or anything, or no?
No, I'm supposed to be moderating a panel on crowdfunding with Gary Whitta and some other people.
Oh, fun.
But I don't have any place to stay yet, so I'll figure that out.
Well, bunk with Gary Whitta. You and Whitta in the same hotel room makes perfect sense to me.
Total sense.
We'll have a great time. It's Veronica on Twitter, also on DTNS today. Monday's your day.
Monday's my day, yes.
Check that out. All right. Veronica Belmont, thanks so much. Talk to
thanks,
you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
See you.
All righty.
She didn't call us bye guys. That seems like now, now more than ever.
She called us thanks guys. Yeah, we need to be called bye guys. If not now, when? All right. Excellent. There's a really funny tweet yesterday from somebody saying, what was it? It was something about, somebody had posted a bunch of negative things on a blog about the gay referendum, but then issued a bunch of support. It was a sports page, and it was a bunch of support for the American softball team in some tournament. And then at the bottom of the thing, the guy says, "Should I tell them? Like, should I let them know that they're mostly lesbians?" Anyway, there was of really funny back and forth this week, I thought. Like, room for comedy, dude. Room for comedy during the week of the gays. All right. Brian, let's do emails. We have no sponsor for emails, but we do have some emails.
All right.
This one here from Terry, who wrote in and says, "Scott, I'm sure someone sent you this already, but just in case no one else has noticed, I wanted to send this to you. Check out Midnight with Chris Hardwick, episode 126 on June 25th. You are on the show. More precisely, TVZ Gon and you, or his Twitter profile, is shown, and his profile picture is of both you and he in it. It pops up at the 1 minute, 45 minute mark. Blah, I can't talk. 1 hour. No, it wouldn't be 1 hour. 1 minute, 45 second mark. Mm-hmm. Here's the Hulu link, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you haven't seen this, Brian, while you were gone, TVZ Gon sent a message to the Midnight account to take part in one of these things.
Yeah, like a come up with your funniest response to such and such.
Sure. And they used it. And it just turns out that his profile photo, which they showed a big one on screen, is of me and him, arms around each other at Nerdtacular.
At Nerdtacular? Oh, that's so cool.
To celebrate the Week of the Gays. And
is that what it is?
It's Gay Week. Chris Hardwick brought it up and said, TVZ Gon, one of these guys is TVZ Gon, and then the crowd laughed, and then they moved on, and that was about the end of it. But it was pretty rad. So it's more about TVZ Gon's tweet getting on the air than me, but I just happen to be in this photo.
That's so cool. Congratulations, TV Zcon, man.
Yeah, Twitter lit up that night at around midnight, I guess.
At midnight.
Yeah. Yes. And it was an episode with Will Sasso and the girl from, not Hall & Oates, but the, what is it?
Garfunkel and
Oates.
Is it the one with the big eyes?
Yeah, the tiny one.
Uh-huh.
From
Big Bang Theory and...
what's another show she was on that you just finished?
Oh, Raising Hope.
Raising Hope, that's right. They were on
there. She is hilarious.
And I think the middle dude might have been some bigwig. Anyway, whatever. It was cool. It's nice to see. Our brush with Comedy Central fame. We have a couple of phone calls. This one is from someone about fish.
Hey, on TMS episode 845, Brian said something to the effect of, "You can't preface a sentence with, I don't mean to sound racist, but," without actually following up with something racist. Not true. You shouldn't have said that. I'm going to prove you wrong. So I hope you're ready to get your ass handed to you, because here it goes. I don't mean to sound racist, but... Jorgen fish sandwich!
Oh, you're a dork.
I think you're wrong, sir. I think that just turned it into a racist comment.
It might have.
Hey, Jorgen fish sandwich!
Sure is. Thanks for that call. We got one more. This is about, I don't know what this is. Here it is.
Hey, this is Johnny C. from Sacramento commenting about the morning stream. Yeah, this area is really diverse, actually. It's one of the most diverse areas in the country. And so there's some bad places and some good places. But in all seriousness, you're the poop hole. Click.
Wow.
Well, I'd made the comment that Sacramento was kind of a poop hole, which I should never do. I understand that blanketing any place with one defining statement is a stupid idea. Like, for example, I thought Boise, Idaho was a dump when I visited there years ago. It's apparently super awesome now. Like, everybody wants to go to Boise. It's like all like Portland Junior up there.
That's crazy.
My wife was just there with Carter, and they loved it there. That was their favorite place. They went to Portland, and they went to San Francisco. Their favorite place ended up being Boise, and they didn't think that was going to be true when they left.
I would not have expected that.
Yeah. Apparently, it's super artsy and awesome, and the city stuff's just rad. And anyway,
I've been to Sacramento. I've installed software at the Sacramento Bee.
Oh, and, see?
Thought it was just fun.
Right. It's still the capital of California.
It still is.
Yeah. Let's see if I can name. I'm going to try to name as many state capitals as I can. Let's see how dumb I am, all right?
Okay.
Sacramento, California. Phoenix, Arizona. Is that right? Yeah, it is Phoenix.
So far, so good.
Seattle, Washington. Portland, Oregon.
Wait. Is it Seattle, Washington? Or is it...
is it something else in Washington?
Is it...
Damn it. You're right. Isn't it? Wait. Capital.
It's not Tacoma.
I'm looking it up. It is Olympia.
Olympia, yes, right.
Scott got one wrong. All right. Salt Lake City, Utah. Denver, Colorado. Kansas City. Is it Kansas City, Kansas? No. Wichita?
Putting me on the spot, too. Kansas is...
Topeka, damn it!
Topeka, yeah.
I don't know anything. I'm stopping now. I don't know what's up.
Quit while you're not even ahead.
I used to know all 50 because I had to do it in school. Mm-hmm. I don't know them now. It is not too early to get a fish sandwich, but it is too late to have the show continue. We're going to be done. We're going to end now. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We are really excited to be back, and I'm just so happy to have Brian back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back.
More stories. I'll tell you tomorrow about the weirdest and greatest thing. So we saw some touristy things while we were there. I mean, things that are intended for, you know, people visiting to see, like the Maid Cafe and the Robot Cabaret and things like that. Mm-hmm. But we stumbled upon something that is a slice of Japan that we couldn't have been prepared for and was like the perfect timing. It was awesome.
Nice.
I'll tell you about that tomorrow.
Very interested in that as well. I guess that's it. Let's get out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is where you can send your email inquiries, thoughts, feelings, things we'll read on the show. You can leave us a voicemail at 801-471-0462, just like those fine people did today. We're on Twitter, @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. There'll be a new Boop show today before I leave to that eye appointment. And there will be a new Film Sack today. Didn't go up yesterday, but we'll have our Japanese Spider-Man episode.
Spider-Man!
Spider-Man. That'll be up today, right after the show, in fact. Nice. And a new comic this week. A Kickstarter should be approved any second for the Extra Life book. I'm just waiting for Kickstarter. I don't know what's taking them so long. We submitted on Thursday. It's usually like a day, so I don't know what they're doing. But hopefully today, and then we'll launch that damn thing, and then we're off to the races.
Nice.
Brian, you got anything else? If I've forgotten anything?
I got nothing else.
You're not doing Coverville till midweek, right?
Not till Wednesday, yep. Okay. And I don't know, I have no idea what that's going to be, but
we'll talk
be something.
That then. That'll be great. I'm getting the new Kindle Paperwhite is out tomorrow, and I'm getting one. I'll review it.
Oh, cool.
I've been looking to upgrade my ebook status, and that one now has the screen of the Voyage, but is still the same price as the regular Paperwhite, which I think makes it probably the best e-reader on the market. So I'll get that tomorrow and let you know what I think.
Cool. I can't wait to hear it. I'm interested in those.
Reading like a madman these days. I think that's it. Let's get out of here. Brian, did you bring music?
I did.
Great.
Continuing with our Hall & Oates extravaganza on today's show. I don't know why Hall & Oates, but it just... I like both of these songs, and it just happened to work out. Story Hill included a cover on their 2009 album Duotones. It's a cover of Sarah Smile, and it seems like a good way to close out the show today. Here's Story Hill and Sarah Smile.
Sarah Smile, it reminds me of something. Oh, Savannah Smiles. Do you remember that movie?
No.
That was a huge movie here where I lived. Everybody saw Savannah Smiles. It was like the big feel-good hit of when you were a kid.
I'm pulling it up here. Savannah Smiles.
If you're still listening to the show, everyone at home or live, if you remember Savannah Smiles, speak up because I need some
1982.
Solidarity.
1982. Yep.
Wow. I love that movie.
I don't think I've ever... I'm looking at the movie poster, and it might be the first time I've ever seen this movie poster. 1982.
Not that it was because it was filmed here, even though it was.
Peter Graves, about the biggest. Oh, Pat Morita.
Yep, Pat Morita's in there. It's probably sappy as hell now. Like, I wouldn't like it now, but man, I loved it back in the day. Yeah. So good. It was huge in the 80s. Anyway, here's your song, Sarah Smile. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye. Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Here's a dog biscuit, Snuffles, then jump through a window.